the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of the afternoon show is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing, the official roofing partner of the Boston Celtics. Act now and save 10% during their Fall Into Savings sales event.
Well, I would even go on record right now and saying that this New York team, their starting five, is the best starting five in the NBA on paper. Now, they certainly have to go out and
they have to go out and play, right?
We start training camp right now, and when you look at certainly Carl at the five and then OG at the four and Anobi, health is going to play a big role. My only concern, Perk, is their depth. And I know losing Dante DiVincenzo hurts as far as who comes off the bench for this New York team, but that starting five, including the Boston Celtics, is as good as any starting five in the NBA right now.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
There's Bobby Marks on ESPN with a scorcher right there. The New York Knicks, after trading away Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Karl Anthony Towns, now have the best starting five in the NBA. Better than the Celtics? Better than the... I was about to say better than the Wolves, but yeah, I guess so now. Although I do think the Wolves might have gotten a little bit better there. Better than the Suns? Better than...
Nuggets? Thunder?
The
Pelicans?
Nuggets, Thunder, Bucks? There's some other teams out there. I don't know if I put any of them ahead of the Knicks. I think the Knicks do have a good starting five. But to put them ahead of the Celtics, I thought, was a big, big hot take. The rest of the Eastern Conference is loading up right now. You saw the Sixers get Paul George. I thought that was a positive move for them. And I do think that this is a good trade for the Knicks. They weren't getting anywhere with Julius Randle. He gets banged up all the time. So does Karl Anthony Towns, kind of. But I do think that he adds a dynamic element to that team that could push them over the edge, I do think. And I don't think Dante DiVincenzo is going to – they're not going to miss him that much. They have a bunch of 6'4 guards who can play defense and shoot threes. Like, that's basically what the whole team is. Is their starting five better than the Celtics starting five, Andy Hart?
So we're including Porzingis in this, correct?
We are, yes.
Okay, I just didn't know if this was like a technicality, because if he doesn't, you know, ready for the year, blah, blah, blah.
I would say with him in there, but let's say without it. With Al Horford, do you think it's even better?
I think that makes it more competitive, because Al Horford is quite obviously not getting any younger. And at some point, he's going to look older even than he's looked, right? And I wonder if this, it's almost like David Andrews. I have a lot of respect for David Andrews. I don't think David Andrews is as good as he once was. He's starting to show his age. I think Al Horford's going to do that on the basketball court. No, I think the Celtics have a better starting five if you include Porzingis. I think the versatility, you know, you add Porzingis as sort of a rim protector, but also a stretch five on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. Like the whole, I mean, you have two players in Tatum and Brown that are potential first or second team All-NBA,
right,
and have done it in the postseason. And I also would throw in here, they've done it together.
Yep.
This whole unit has done it together. And we, how many times have we in the last, let's say, 5 years, written down on paper a depth chart of an NBA team because of the offseason changes and said, oh my God, look at that team.
Right.
And then a month and a half or 2 months into the season, you're like, well, that didn't really work out how I thought it was going to.
The Suns.
Right.
Bradley
That's what
Beal
I mean.
And all those guys. Yeah,
every
course,
year
right.
It happens. So is this going to work? I have no idea. Is this going to work?
I think that the Knicks are going to be good. I think that they're going to be a good team this year. Are they going to beat the Celtics better than that? No, they're not going to have a better record in the regular season, and I don't think they're good enough to beat them in the playoffs. I generally, when I have conversations like this, I break it down to the duos, and then you sort of build out from there. The Celtics have the best duo in the NBA, I think. I think at this point, you can call him the best duo in the NBA. Better than LeBron and Davis. You know, better than pretty much the rest
Kyrie
of them.
And Luka.
Kyrie and Luka. I'd take Brown and Tatum over those two guys. I take Brown and Tatum right now as the number one duo in the NBA. And you start to extrapolate that a little bit, and you could say, you know, Brunson and Bridges, maybe. Brunson and Towns are the big duo there in New York now, with Anunoby, with Mitchell Robinson, you know, guys like that sort of filling in around them. And I think that that's still a very strong, Josh Hart, I like a lot. Like, that's still a good team.
It's a good name.
Josh Hart, yeah.
Yeah, Hart.
But I still, I don't know, I put that backcourt up against White and Holiday. Do they score a little more? Sure. But, you know, that's because Brunson's the main offensive focus there. The two offensive focuses on the Celtics, I would take either one of them over Jalen Brunson.
Absolutely.
And I love Jalen Brunson.
And, you know, last year we saw it with Giannis and Dame.
Yep.
There was an adjustment period. Everybody thought that was going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought, on the planet thought that was perfect, and it wasn't. And I would say, isn't more often than not the new team doesn't gel?
Usually.
More often than not, it takes time.
Unless you bring Kevin Durant onto the Warriors. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times right. You'd say it's not always quickly anyway a perfect match. Yeah.
So I think you have to give significant nod to the Celtics for, and again, they don't have a big piece that's new.
Right.
They don't have a big change. The coach isn't different. The starting lineup isn't different. Like the rotation basically isn't, like, there's no reason, in my opinion, to give the nod to the Knicks. There just isn't. Like, Karl Anthony Towns, I like him as much as anybody. I wanted him to be a Celtic.
You're a big fan of his.
I really am. And I'm also a big fan of the Boston Celtics and the continuity. Continuity matters.
Yeah.
I think in basketball, too. I can remember, even with those Warriors with KD, I can remember watching specials on, like, you know, Inside the NBA, whatever the hell it's called, and them talking about, you know, they're all great, but there is still a learning curve. There is still an adjustment period for that team. Mm-hmm. And what did that team win? 73 games?
It was the year after they won 73 games, but that's when they did it. But yeah, it was, you know, like, they were still in the high.
You're talking about some of the most talented players in the history of the game, Hall of Fame, like, whatever. So, there is no chance. I think this is you know what this is? This is what they want you to believe. You know why?
More competitive, more eyeballs,
yeah, like,
that type of thing.
Build up a narrative, like, somebody, because right now, the Celtics are the favorite. Jason Tatum is the favorite to win finals MVP. You need a bad guy. You need an antagonist because the protagonist is projected to win the title.
Yeah, and if the Celtics get off to a big start and they're running away with the Eastern Conference, like, you know, by Christmas.
Yawn, wake me in the summer.
Yeah.
When we actually get to the finals.
And that's not to say, you know, like, if Giannis and Lillard and all these other guys, you know, the Towns and the rest of the guy, Embiid, Paul George, I mean, these are guys that have missed time with injuries. If they're all healthy and they're all playing and the Celtics are beating them, then that's a story. I mean, these other teams tried to load up and the Celtics are still smacking them down, and that's interesting, I guess. But if they're just steamrolling everybody again, then, yeah, I mean, it's like, well, you tried and it's still not there. Yeah. And I remember, I mean, there were years where it was just Golden State Cleveland in the finals every year, Golden State Miami, Golden State versus LeBron. That was who you got every single year, and it got a little old. I mean, if you weren't a fan of one of those two fan bases, then you kind of were like, all right, you know, the season's about to start. I know LeBron's going to be in the finals. He's going to be going against Curry, and that's the way it's been for the last 7 years. So, like, you know, how excited are we really going to get about this? At least then it was a rivalry. Right now, who are the Celtics rivals?
You don't have one, and that's what I was going to say. Like, you can like the Sixers, but there's a certain cloud of doubt that hangs over the Sixers. There just is.
Oh, definitely.
Right? And, you know, the
Philly
Heat,
in general, I think,
right,
has a big cloud of doubt.
They might have two of the biggest losers in the sport in Paul George and Joel Embiid.
Wow.
And, I thought Doc Rivers was still there.
Wow.
But he's not.
Two of the biggest losers.
Paul George has won a playoff game, at least, hasn't he?
Well, so has Embiid. Embiid's won playoff series. He just hasn't been to the
playoff series, whatever. Correct. He hasn't been to the conference finals.
Is
that's
one game you're giving credit for?
Not one game. I botched that, but I meant, yeah, I was trying to think of the
Embiid's
thing.
Embiid's never made it
done.
Past the second round.
Right. Okay. George has?
George has. He did a couple times with Indiana against LeBron, and then
that
he did a few
right.
years ago with the Clippers when they lost to the Suns in 2021.
Yeah, and George was, I mean, George was carrying those two. Like, he was doing his best, but yeah, I agree. I mean, I'll never forget him hitting the side of the backboard a couple years ago.
But he's also never been a third option on a team. He is going to be the third option on the Sixers team, and he's not going to have to be as ball dominant as he's been in the past. He's sort of just going to kind of, I don't want to say 3-and-D, but he's not going to have to carry the load like he had to do on specifically those Pacers teams, but even really those Clippers teams where he was the second option behind Kawhi, and Kawhi was injured half the time anyway,
true,
so he's really the first option.
So
he's
going to like
those
it?
Teams.
Will he like it?
I
like,
think if
that's
they,
where chemistry to
if
me
if they
matters.
Play to their ceiling, their absolute ceiling, I think they could give the Celtics some struggles, because if you're going to beat the Celtics, your primary or at least secondary scorer has to be a big man, right? Because if you look at the Celtics' weakness, and I put that in air quotes, on defense, it's probably their big men, right? Their guards are too good defensively. Their wings are too good defensively. Porzingis, question marks on health. And I think Horford, you touched on it, Hart. He's getting older. How well is he going to be able to body up with a guy like Embiid, a guy like Jokic, a guy like Giannis? So I think one of your primary scorers, either primary or secondary, has to be a big man who plays around the rim. That's Embiid when he wants to. And maybe that'll be Kat if the Knicks decide not to just stick him in the corner and shoot threes, which is what he wants to do.
But don't forget, they have an inflated big man in Boston now. Jaylen Brown, you
that's
see those
right.
guns?
Big JB, who is looking like Kimbo Slice these days.
Good reference.
I mean, he died. He's huge.
He's dead.
He might be bigger than Kimbo Slice.
He's dead, right?
Kimbo Slice is no longer with us? I don't know that.
Oh, I think he's dead. I'll look
that
up.
Passed away. He passed
He did? All right. Yeah. Right. Rest in power, Kimbo Slice. 617-779-7937. Also, rest in peace to John Amos. I just saw that today. A lot of people, John Amos, Pete Rose, Mount Mutombo. It's been a tough couple of days.
That one. That's
Mutombo?
A tough one.
Yeah. I loved Mutombo.
I enjoyed him.
Everybody. I mean, he was one of those guys who was very, like, he was right in your face. Like, he's the type of guy you generally, those type of players I generally don't like. Everybody loved Mutombo.
And iconic. Like, yeah. The finger?
Mm-hmm.
Like, generations know that. There are kids that do it that I'm sure have no idea why they're doing it.
There are
it.
Those commercials, too, where he's swatting the kid
right.
in the grocery store.
But I bet you there's kids that do the finger that
don't
have
even
no
know.
Idea who he is or what it's tied to. It's just sort of become an iconic part of sports culture.
Yeah. Those there's a bunch of highlight videos of him, and the best is when he's got the finger out and he's blocking the shots with the other hand and doing the finger like at the same time. That's awesome. Like, he was awesome. He was
wasn't there one
accounts.
He was like in an office and people kept trying to throw things in the trash.
Yeah, he was like in the grocery store and they put it in the cart and he's smacking the cereal. Like, hilarious. And by all accounts, he was a great guy too.
We did have a text earlier that was wondering if Pete Rose can go in the Hall of Fame now because it was a lifetime ban and his lifetime has ended.
Good question. I wonder about that.
Probably not. But
probably not.
I would hope not. You're going to do it posthumously?
Like, I think...
feels sleazy.
Sports books everywhere have to fly their flag at half-mast today. Charlie Hustle, I think.
A virtual.
Yeah, something like that.
On their app.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll reset on Jeremy Swayman and this whole drama going on right now with the Boston Bruins right after Brian Frazoco tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market. At yesterday's Boston Bruins press conference, Bruins president Cam Neely insinuated that the Bruins offered goaltender Jeremy Swayman a $64 million contract. Swayman's agent, though, Lewis Gross, released a statement saying, quote, prior to the press conference, no offer was made reaching that level. The Bruins preseason continues tonight as they host the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop is at TD Garden. That game begins at 7 o'clock. Patriots are off today, but will return to the practice field tomorrow ahead of their Week 5 matchup against the 1-3 Miami Dolphins, who lost last night to Tennessee in blowout fashion. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, Patriots safety Kyle Duggar is still gathering information on his injured ankle. The initial belief is he avoided major injury per source. However, Duggar still could miss some time. Playoff baseball begins today in the MLB. Four wildcard games are scheduled. Tigers visit the Astros in Houston with that game currently in the sixth inning. The Tigers are currently holding a 3-0 lead. Kansas City Royals, they'll be in Baltimore to face the Orioles. That game just got underway a few minutes ago. And then to the NL, where the Mets will be in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers. That game starts at 5:32. Then the Braves will be in San Diego to face the Padres with first pitch tonight at 8:38. MLB very punctual as always. Celtics preseason begins this Friday at 12 p.m. in Abu Dhabi against the Nuggets. The New England Revolution head down to Texas to face the Houston Dynamo tomorrow night. That game kicks off at 8:30. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Brian Frazoco. That's what's trending on WEI and on WEI.com.
If you were to ask me that same question a year ago, I would answer truthfully and I would say it's scary. A lot of resentment towards people that want you to succeed when you're not getting compensated for your endless efforts and doing what you do best. It's a nerve-wracking feeling, but I've educated myself and that I understand the business side of it all. And it's given me a complete new mindset of understanding the business and how to react to it.
Well, I don't want to get into the weeds with what his ask is, but I know that I have 64 million reasons why I'd be playing right now.
Jeremy Swayman on the Shut Up Mark podcast. Cam Neely yesterday at the press conference for the Bruins opening up their season, opening it up on a sour kind of dramatic note, I would say, as we're 1 week away from actual real games that count in the standings. Jonas Korpisalo has been named your starter in the Bruins right now, caught in a standoff here with Jeremy Swayman. It seems like they're close. It seems like they may have been close for a while now, but that last, they're on the 1 yard line and can't quite get in the end zone. We do have a little bit of breaking news. Do we want to hit the sounder for this? I think we get it.
Sure.
The
City
hit
hit
the sounder for this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program. This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Ian Rappaport, 11 minutes ago, Raiders star wide receiver Devontae Adams informed the team that he prefers to be traded. This according to Rap Sheet and Mike Garofolo. over at NFL Network. I know that there was a lot of whispers about this going on. I think he went on Kay Adams' show either last night or today or something and was talking about it. He has now asked for a trade out of Vegas. The Patriots, I'm sure, probably are not high on his list. I don't even know if they care about getting a guy like him in this room right now, but that's a potentially big domino out there. We talked about this, how generally these guys aren't getting moved anymore. They're not hitting free agency. They're not getting traded anymore. There was the time where that happened with A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill and some other ones, but that's kind of dried up lately, especially on good teams. Vegas is not a good team, and they're clearly not a good situation right now as you got the coach out there calling everybody out left, right, and center. And Davante Adams is over it, doesn't want to be there, doesn't want to be there catching passes from Gardner Minshew and or Aiden O'Connell anymore. He wants out. What do you think happens with Davante Adams? And do the Patriots get involved?
I think you have to at least ask. I don't think the timeline works. I do think a guy who's going to turn 32 this year is probably a little older than would be ideal to pair up with Drake May and say, I've got my guy for, you know, the next 5 years or his development till he's really a star quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor all along, first of all, a little backstory. In doing some reading, I guess there's one of those weird social media stories where Antonio Pierce's account liked a Sports Illustrated story about trading Davante Adams a couple days ago.
All right.
And I guess it's like a
he's had it with him,
blue checkmark account. So the coach has kind of moved on from the player. I think the player has moved on from the team. Now they just figure out how this works. There's been rumors that the Jets asked last year, looked into it last year. And obviously the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, the success they had in Green Bay. I think Adams grew an appreciation for Aaron Rodgers when he left him, playing with Jimmy Garoppolo, and all those clips we saw from the receiver documentary when he was, I'm going to effing die here if I don't get out of this effing place. Well, now it looks like he's going to get out of that place. So I think this is a contender guy. This is a guy that, you know who a team should consider it with a young quarterback? Washington.
Washington, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
that'd be a good pickup for
them.
How about the Chiefs?
Obviously the Chiefs, but I'm saying
Steelers,
yeah. But the way Washington is playing offensively, they're trying to do the C.J. Stroud thing. They're trying to fast track it and say, we got our quarterback. We actually have a receiver. Can you imagine if we pair Adams with McLaurin and give Jaden Daniels the whole kind of kitchen to do the work? So
how about Denver? They got a rookie quarterback. They're probably trying to get, you know, Courtney Sutton's all right, but like you get Davante Adams in there, all of a sudden, Bo Nix, you know, like that's.
But as Bo Nix, like Jaden Daniels has created a buzz. It's what we were talking about earlier with May. You want him to create that alluring buzz. I think
Adams
that
would
buzz,
probably rather play in Washington than Denver at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd agree
just
with
based
that.
On what's happened. I don't think it makes sense for the Patriots, but any of the contenders. Kansas City, you lose Rice. And you can replace him with Adams in that division. My guess is the Raiders don't want to trade him to the Chiefs. Trying to think other teams that would make sense. Has there been any other injuries?
The Saints. I mean, the Saints could use him.
A lot of teams could. I mean, he's a great receiver.
Falcons.
He's a Hall of Fame caliber receiver.
I mean, Drake London's the Falcons' best wide receiver right now. Like, I'm trying to think. Most places, not every place, but a lot of places, he'd suddenly be your number one receiver.
About
like,
Minnesota.
All across the league.
Go all in.
Minnesota. Man, hit the three of them. That would be almost
say,
unfair,
wow, we
I
didn't
think,
know
yeah.
this was going to be this good, this fast. We got let's roll.
Detroit,
absolutely.
There's some odds out on his next potential.
What do we
team.
Got?
I got Jets at +400. They're
plus
number
400,
one.
Okay.
Number two is Baltimore +1250.
Great call, Baltimore.
Yep. +1250. Tied with the Ravens for two is Dallas, and then fourth is +1750. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
I
kind of like that +1750 there.
Could anything get creative for T. Higgins?
Oh, as in we bring
like
in
player
your
for player.
In? Yeah. That kind
so
of
the
thing.
Raiders, we need a franchise receiver. We'll take T. Higgins and give him his contract. We'll kind of swap money and figure it out. That would be an interesting one for the Bengals because it gives you cost certainty.
Right.
You're gonna have to pay Adams, but it's he's signed. You don't have to change anything. I'm just trying to be creative.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I think that there's probably, I'd imagine Adams has a list, right? He's going to walk in there. He's going to say, here's my list. These are the teams I'd like to go to.
Green Bay?
Green Bay, sure.
What if you're the Raiders and you say, you guys got all those young receivers. You want your number one back? We'll take a couple of young receivers off your hands.
Yeah.
Christian Watson and somebody else, whatever.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I could see that happening. And I could see Vegas at this point. I mean, listen, We're a quarter of the way through the season. They're 2-2. They're tied with every team in their division except the Chiefs, and they're starting to shed. I mean, they're starting to say, okay, we don't want this guy. We don't want that guy. Antonio Pierce, I think, is being very brave by going this route with this team, considering the fact that, you know, Adams is a guy who it seemed like once McDaniels is out, you're going to start getting more from him, and he's going to buy in more, and it's the opposite of that. Instead, it's, you know, can we get this guy out of here now and put all our eggs in the Antonio Pierce basket, which, I don't know what kind of relationship he has with Davis, but it seems like that's untenable going forward.
I don't know about you, but the way he's handled himself professionally and then some of the things I saw in that documentary.
I didn't watch that, so I don't know.
I'm not sure I love Davante Adams. I'm not sure I
What else did he do in the documentary?
He was just, he's kind of a baby. He's kind of like... You want
you
out?
Mean the wide receivers a diva? No,
he's
come on.
Definitely in that world of he's a wide receiver.
I don't believe it.
He's absolutely.
Aren't you the one who says you want your receiver to be a diva?
Yeah, I want a young diva receiver, and then I'll move on from him.
Not an old diva.
I want to get like 5 years.
You want
and then,
young diva, not old diva.
Yeah, because I want him to work his way up. I don't want him to have like the leverage.
You
and want to
watch him earn the diva status?
Yes, gotcha. Absolutely. I'm glad we're on the same page. Cool. I'm glad we were able to kind of figure this out on the fly.
So Davante Adams is like Adele. Right? An older diva, right? Getting up there in the
Mariah
years.
Carey.
Mariah Carey, great one. Yeah, so he's like Mariah Carey. And, you know, the younger wide, Justin Jefferson, for example, is like Tate McRae or Sabrina Carpenter or one of them, right? Young
yeah, we'll
diva
go with
in
that.
Their prime right
I'll
now.
Pretend I know what you're talking about.
Sabrina Carpenter, you're not familiar?
No. Who's the other one that's real popular? The girl. I like her.
Chappelle Roan?
Nope. Like, the concerts, they line up to get the tickets. It's not...
That would be Taylor Swift.
No. Not Taylor Swift.
This is a very unknown artist. Maybe
more
you've heard
the,
of Taylor
more
Swift.
More in the pop world, like...
Beyonce.
No.
Dua Lipa?
Young.
Dua Lipa?
No.
Not Sabrina Carpenter?
No.
Well, you don't know what it is either. Don't tell me
I do know. I just don't know the name.
Well, that kind of is the point. Well, describe this person.
Very popular.
Okay, what does the person look like? I know they're popular.
Billie Eilish?
Nope.
I mean, we're going to be sitting
Stiz,
here.
Stiz, you're the music guy.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with female pop
she's
stars,
huge.
Younger female pop stars.
I think she's kind of evolved from...
Like physically big, or just you mean
no,
she's really popular?
No, really popular.
Lizzo.
Not like
Lady Gaga.
Lizzo, that's what I thought. No. Younger.
Post Malone.
Younger, young generation. I'm going to have to go to like the text line or somebody. Can somebody help me out? Not Madonna, you dink.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yes, Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
I was right. Wasn't
she's
I right?
She's 2 years ago.
Is she? She's dead?
No,
not
no.
dead. I don't mean dead, but like.
No, she's very much not dead.
No, I mean.
Hit the breaking news center.
Her popularity is dead?
Well, other people have taken over. Sabrina Carpenter's got like 12 songs in the top 100 right now. So I'd say Olivia Rodrigo's still popular, but she's getting surpassed at this moment.
Yeah, they
I'd
got
say,
it
right
before
now.
You guys did. Pickle Beach 99.
Good for you, Pickle Beach 99.
Maybe Pickleback 99? I can't. No, it's
you,
says
you
beach.
A Pickleback guy?
No, my wife loves them.
I love picklebacks.
Loves picklebacks. I think I've only done it once at a wedding.
Is a wedding with picklebacks? That's cool.
She requested it. We did a whole table of it, and they had to find a bottle of pickles, dump the pickles
dump
out
the juice
to get
out,
the
juice. Right,
like
yeah.
They weren't prepared to serve it at the wedding.
Well, you know why it's good? So I worked in a bar where we had those, and generally you just give the pickles away, right? They're part of the sandwich.
Oh,
you don't
nice.
Charge any extra for them.
Yeah.
So you make a little, like a shot of Jameson would be $7. A pickleback's $8.50. So
what is a pickleback?
It's a shot of whiskey, and you chase it with a shot of pickle juice.
Oh, good God.
People
good.
Love them.
It's good.
There was a time, there
like,
was period.
It's like
they were
reset, because first of all, there's electrolytes, and it helps you not get as hungover.
Right.
And also, it's like you didn't even take the whiskey shot. It kills the burn,
yeah.
And you can go right back up, get another one. It's great.
Be face down in less than an hour.
That's right. I almost fell off a bar stool after too many picklebacks.
Jesus.
And that's never happened to me before, where I like went to get up, and I like couldn't... Couldn't get off the chair.
Well, yeah, when you, I mean, you just
when
said,
you have a few too many picklebacks.
Go get another one that quickly. Twitch chat says,
set it up again.
They're the goat.
Picklebacks are delicious. I love
there was a phase there because I remember getting my wife for Christmas. I ordered her a sampler. You could buy bottled pickle juice that were like
ooh.
Different flavors or something. It was like a 6-pack.
Just the juice.
Yeah, it was
no pickles in it.
I'm not even sure there were ever pickles in it. I don't know if it was created just to do the shots with. It was like flavored pickle juice. It's also healthy for you in terms of it's like a cramp prevention and cramp recovery.
Yeah, right,
because
the electrolytes.
Because I know like my son and his
guys
football
drinking
team,
on the sidelines.
Yeah, they use it all the time. And there's that's now sold in little shot bottles on like
really?
Amazon. Little pickle bottle shots.
That's perfect for the pickleback on the go. If you need to, you need to do a pickleback somewhere out
well,
in
it
public.
Is, it's
you
showing
it
its versatility
right there.
It can either keep you from cramping as a high-end athlete
mm-hmm.
or get you absolutely sloshed at a bar.
The first place I ever saw or ever had a pickleback, or ever even heard of them before, was at the Citizen in, near Fenway. You know that place, Public House?
Yep.
They had them. And I never even knew that it was a thing before. And I guess it started at some bar in New York, and then it started spreading around. And now it's like everywhere. Everybody's got them now. They got them like on the menu because you can make money off the pickle juice, which is, you know, generally not something that you're able to do before. So, yeah, there you go.
There's crazy smart.
There's your pickleback talk right here on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We've been talking Davante Adams, the wide receiver situation. I think you look at the Patriots. And I mean, listen, I'd love to have Davante Adams here in terms of something to watch, a jersey to sell in the in the pro shop and so forth. I think it would make these games a little more entertaining, maybe not a lot.
Would they? Or would it make it more frustrating?
Someone's got to deliver the ball.
I think it would be more frustrating.
Maybe.
Because now if he's not getting the ball, you're like, oh my God, we have Davante Adams and the left tackle still sucks and Jacoby Brissett's running for his life and getting hit.
Yeah.
And now Davante Adams is throwing his helmet on the sideline
and now
saying,
he's having a problem.
I got to get out of this effing place before I die at Gillette Stadium. Like, you're not ready for him. You just aren't.
No, probably not. But if
he doesn't want to come to you, I can't imagine.
If you're making an investment for the future with Drake May, and he's someone that I think it's going to be hard to get one of these younger guys, one of these guys in their mid-20s. Like, those are generally the guys that don't get traded. A 31-year-old malcontent on a bad team, he might get traded. And that's someone, beggars can't be choosers. Like, the Patriots have to get what they can because no one really wants to come here. But if you trade for somebody, then maybe you could work it out. If not, it doesn't happen, then fine. But
does it matter elsewhere? Like, are you intrigued in terms of how it affects, for example, the Jets? We had them on the Bill watch list. They're 2-2.
Right.
They're scuffling. They can't score. They were supposed to maybe be a contender.
He'd make a huge difference on that Jets team.
I got to tell you.
I think he would.
You want to take over the football world, Jets, trade for Davante Adams,
yep.
Hire Bill Belichick, and you own the NFL for at least a period of time.
Yeah.
It may not work. I'm not promising titles or anything, but you trade for Davante Adams.
They'll figure out a way to screw it up, I guess.
Well, a lot of you people, mm-hmm. Patriots people, believe Jets gonna Jets no matter what. Bill would be, wouldn't work there with Bill. It's not working with Rodgers. Won't work with Adams. I'd like to see them try personally.
I'd like to see that too. That'd be interesting. That would be an interesting thing going on in the AFC East.
And it would help the Patriots pick number one overall, probably.
Probably. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to get to Sam Kennedy and what he had to say yesterday. Real quick, is Cam Neely stuck in the past? Is Cam Neely sort of stuck in the past, like the good old days with the group of players who all came up together? They were all forward, all these young guys who came up through their 20s and all wanted to stay together and play together and all took whatever deals were given to them and just thought, all right, this is the way Bruins hockey's always going to be. It seems like there's a little bit of, the good old days going on with Cam and him sort of not being able to adapt to the fact or the idea that there are players here who aren't so in love with the Boston Bruins organization, like Marchand and Bergeron and Krejci and everybody else who never went anywhere else and just stayed here forever and kept re-signing and re-signing for whatever amount of money. You know what I mean? Like, is he maybe sort of stuck in those days more than he should be?
Or, I don't know if stuck in those days is the right idea, but caught off guard when somebody isn't of that mentality? Because I do think for the more often than not in recent years, guys have had that mentality. That whether it's the older guys, whether it's, Bergeron, Marchand, those guys, or you signed Pastrnak, you signed McAvoy, got it done.
Taylor Hall even re-signed here.
Right, Taylor Hall.
For a pretty good, it was 4 years, $24 million.
And you went out and got Lindholm.
Pastrnak, they went to
whatever.
The mat with Pastrnak, though.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But did it get like this?
No.
Like, that's the issue here, because the idea is Swayman wants to be here, right? They believe Swayman wants to be here, or wanted to be here. I need to change the tense of my verb in the sentence.
Previously, there was a time when he wanted to be here.
And now it's gotten a little off the rails. But this happens. Like, there's one-offs, whether it's the agent or the player. Do you believe it's the agent or the player? Do you believe that Swayman is all in on everything he said on the Shut Up Mark podcast?
Yes.
So it's not agent fed.
I think the agent is not trying to reel him in at all, if that's what you're asking, but I do think that this is the genesis of this is coming from Jeremy Swayman and the perceived slights that he saw in the last 3 years, both on the ice and in arbitration. I think that's coming from him, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
I don't know, because I think it's a little weird, personally. I always thought the Papelbon thing was weird and came from the eight. Like, do players actually believe I owe it to future closers, or I think we're simpler than that.
He said all that. The agent didn't say that. He said that.
No, I know, but I don't know where he got it from. I'm not sure he got it from the main business school.
I think he believes it. I think it was partially the business school and all that.
NHLPA newsletter?
I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
it just, I don't know. It seems weird. Him.
I think it's all fueled, though, by the slights in the past. I think that's what's sort of gotten to this point and why the Bruins have decided to escalate it rather than try and tamper any of it down. I think that's their biggest mistake here, not reading the player, which you said earlier, and I agree with that. I think they haven't read their player at all. They thought he's just going to, you know, bend the knee and come back, and he'll play. And once the pressure starts coming out, come on, we're in camp, Jeremy. You got to come now. You got to come back and suit up and just, you know, eat this crappy contract that you don't want, you don't think you're worth. You got to do it because you're on the Bruins, and that's how it works. And that's how it worked, you know, in the past
crappy.
With everybody else.
$64 million crappy.
Torrey Krug. I mean, listen, they're negotiating, all right? They could go up to eight. They could go up to 8.5 if they wanted to. They're not doing it. I think any bit of pettiness you can assign to Swayman, you can assign right back to the Bruins as well. And I'm the player side with that. I almost always am. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll touch on the Red Sox and their exit interviews yesterday.
WEEI.
New England's
sports original. AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
That's why we're here. That's literally why the three of us are here. There's nothing like October baseball, and that's our responsibility and our obligation to the best fans in baseball. We fell short of that this year, but we're going to work tirelessly to get us back where we belong in the American League East. That's our commitment, to do everything we can. And talk is cheap right now, words are hollow, but that's what we're gonna work on this offseason.
Sam Kennedy yesterday, as the Red Sox conducted their exit interviews. It was Sam Kennedy, it was Craig Breslow, it was Alex Cora, no ownership there, which, duh. I didn't love that press conference. I didn't know what I was expecting, really. But Kennedy talking about how the ownership didn't do enough for the team this year, like, yeah, we know. And should you believe in the owner's commitment? Well, our actions have to speak louder than our words, and
talk is cheap.
Burning urgency, talk is cheap. And it's like, okay, like, well, your actions were that you didn't do enough for the team, right? Like, mm-hmm. That was what the actions were. So if those are the actions, what are the, and obviously they're supposed to speak louder than the words. I am listening to them. I'm listening to those actions. I'm listening to the actions that you've given, that you've gotten from, I don't know what that was. Just jumped right out of me. I'm listening to the actions that you've made here over this last, not just last year, but the last couple of years, since 2021, really. And I believe you. I believe that actions speak louder than words. I think everything Kennedy said there was right. But if that's the way that we're going about it, then, you know, whatever he's saying after that, yeah, no, we gotta go out there and do it. Those are words, all right? And you've said those words before. You've said words like full throttle before. You've said words like baseball players are expensive before. I mean, we've heard lots of words from this group, and none of them really have filled us up with any kind of hope, even the full throttle thing. Most people mocked that when he came out and said that, and they were right to, because they didn't go full throttle anywhere. And I hear stuff like that, like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter what I say here. We got to let our actions speak louder than words. Your actions have been speaking louder than your words, and that's why everyone's pissed off.
So I was, because you know I'm optimistic. You know I believe there's going to be moves and acquisitions. And I liked it when he said, whatever the exact quote was, back where we belong.
Right.
Because there's a certain mentality, that's what fans think. You belong competing for a division title. You belong competing with the Yankees for the AL East. So I liked that. And then in like the next breath, he said something to the effect of, and we really thought we had a chance to be there this year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. Because I took the back where we belong is, we got to go get Juan Soto. We got to be a spender. We got to be competitive in the offseason, just like we want to be competitive during the season.
Right.
But then you didn't do that, and you came into this season believing you were going to be back where you belonged. So I got very much mixed messages, which I often do, from Sam Kennedy. I don't actually like listening to him speak, because being an optimist of the team and where it's going, he just kicks that right in the cojones really every time does. He speaks. He is just a absolute blocker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just ruins
Buzz Killington.
Buzz Kill 101. But, and Breslow talks, and then, listen, we were listening to it yesterday. We aired some of it live, and then Alex Cora started talking in Spanish, and I can only keep up with so much when he's in the Spanish part.
I couldn't keep up with any of it. I don't know what he was saying.
So I got total mixed messages yesterday. I want to be excited about this offseason. I want to look forward to them pursuing Burns and Soto and whoever it may be, and maybe it's a trade for a Seattle pitcher or Mason Miller. Like, there's all these opportunities we want to believe in.
Yeah.
But you're right. They have to do it. It's the actions are all that matter. It doesn't – they because they even are now learning from themselves and Mayo and others. Like, you know, we don't – we try not to set expectations on payroll. Well, you didn't used to. You used to be ready to
right.
basically burn some cash the way Gerard used to.
To compete with the Yankees right. was the original reason why. But, yeah, you were ready to do that.
Right. And now – and it's probably smart because you don't know, you don't totally control it. It takes two parties to tango and that whole thing. But I don't know how you heard that yesterday and felt better, quite honestly. If you want to feel better, go listen to our final interview with Alex Cora, where he says, this is the last time we're going to be in this spot or whatever it was. Like, you know, there was more.
I mean, that was nice of him to say, but when it comes to the actual brass tacks of, well, how is that going to be the case?
Yep.
I'm still not convinced. You know, listen, these guys, these kids might come up from the minors and be good, but I think we all agree it's going to take more than a couple of lefty hitting outfielders to come up here and turn things around for this team. Their outfield's okay. Like, they have a good outfield right now. I don't think that's even on the list of problems that this team has to address. But either way, last year, you remember, Kennedy was like, if you think we're not committed to doing what's best for the team, you're a liar, and I'm going to call you out, right. and blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of the season, he's like, yeah, you know, we didn't do enough for the team.
Right.
It's like,
so he's a liar?
I guess, yeah.
Well, he's like, you know what? You guys actually had a good point.
Yeah, you know what? I guess.
He is kind of a liar, but he's a hired liar, right? That's his job.
It's kind of his job,
We do need to accept that he has to go out there and spin things. Mm-hmm. He is a perfect guy to be on this show for either the spin zone or the sniff test.
That's
right?
why we're here.
Both of those segments. Thank you. Anytime you want to join a spin zone or a sniff test, we're happy to have you on the show.
Nah, we're not an easy enough landing spot. He'll go on with those
the morning show.
In the morning. They're not going to talk to us.
The morning show, we call it.
Exactly. Cream Puffs in the Morning, I think, is the actual name of the show. But yes, that's everybody talks to them. They talk to Breslow. They talk to the front office. They talk to all those guys.
The guy that matters talks to us.
That's true.
Skipper.
Yeah. And we've been tough. We were tough on Cora.
I thought we were fair.
Yeah.
The I season, say tougher or
I
easy.
Think we were tough because the season fell apart and we asked him directly about it. And you can't, you know, you have to get answers about that. And I think that they're more he's more willing to offer up answers of substance than Breslow or Sam Kennedy on their best day are. So, you know, like they won't give you an answer. They'll give you a big talk. Like
could
Cora,
they have?
Cora gives you an answer.
Could they have said anything yesterday that Christian, the pessimist Arcand, would have said, Oh, I'm buying in. Oh, I'm intrigued. Oh, I can't wait to see. Like,
yes, they could have said we have agreed to terms with Corbin Burns, who's pitching in the playoffs right now.
I don't think that's legal
right now.
We have a agreement in place. It's very illegal, and we shouldn't have done this. And I shouldn't have said this into a microphone. But Corbin Burns is going to be on the team next year. Just so you know.
But
that would have made me feel better.
No. The answer is no, right?
Because
if they had said we're going full throttle, there's going to be fireworks. We're going to burn some cash. If they had used every misstepped quote that every organization in town has used in the last 5 years, you still would have been skeptical.
Yes.
Because talk is cheap.
Maybe an acknowledgement of exactly why they, you know, like what that they didn't do that. But now we've learned from this mistake and now we're going forward. I'd still be skeptical. But at least if they acknowledged like, yeah, you know, we haven't been doing this right the last couple of years. Now we're going to start doing something differently. That would be better than what we got yesterday, I think.
And I almost.
But you're right. I mean, there's nothing that really.
Nothing they could have said.
Yeah.
But I almost dislike them for this season more when he says, and we thought we could be back there or whatever this year. So you still didn't really do anything?
Right.
So I'm going to take you at face value for that little comment. You thought you had a team that could compete, and you really did nothing to supplement it, to nope. add to it, to really, and it wouldn't have taken much. It would, like, I'm asking for much more this offseason than I think you could have done and placated people. Now, I didn't want Montgomery, and he ended up being a disaster. And
that's true.
Thank God for unanswered prayers type thing there.
Snell was good.
Yeah, but there were guys you could have gone and gotten. Yeah. And so I hope.
I wanted to get both Montgomery and Snell in the offseason. They could have.
I hope. And yeah, but Montgomery was bad.
Montgomery was bad, but that's what I wanted in the offseason. I was hoping they do that. That would be that kind of offseason where they go wild in the pitching market and just say, you know what? We need two guys to stabilize this rotation and have two out front starters. And they would have had that. Montgomery, I mean, eventually he would have been moved down in the rotation. But you have Snell up there with Houck and Crawford and those guys. You got something there.
But you're also right in that by saying talk is cheap, if you say something crazy, you've put some focus on your words. If you say talk is cheap, everybody focuses on your actions.
That's true.
So you better be ready to be active, because otherwise people are going to be pissed off because you said talk is cheap, basically telling everyone to watch what you're going to do. And then if you do nothing and just say, oh, you didn't realize? We got some good players down in Worcester. They're going to get better this offseason, and we're going to call them up, and we're going to have good young players. Like
it's time to get back where we belong.
Yeah, it is time to get back where you belong. And leave the last part off that you thought you were back there. Nobody thought you were back there. I know. I bet the under on 79.5. I know where my mindset was.
It looked like you were going there before the break.
Then I got, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. They
did it for Joe. Joe Castiglione specifically said, "Win this, so screw over Andy Hart."
Did you hear Will Fleming?
Did I hear him break down?
Yeah,
I did.
Rich Keefe off the hook, huh? Because Rich Keefe's breakdown is nothing compared to Will Fleming.
How long did Keefe and Holly work together as opposed to Fleming and
Oh, it's Joe? Longer with Fleming.
It's longer with Fleming?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Well, definitely.
That matters a little bit,
yeah.
Right? Like, yeah.
Well, know. Absolutely. And all, by the way, I told you, I'm kind of a crier. I told Jacob Brissett when we talked about it. I asked 11 questions about crying.
You did.
A real man cries.
A real man does cry. I cry sometimes, you know. Not often, but it's happened before.
Every night when he leaves this studio.
That's true.
The drive home.
I'll be crying tears of joy when they finally split the show up. 617-779-7937. I am shocked to see this name on the list right now of people waiting to call and talk to us. Jim the Wrestling Goon is live on the air right now. Jim, I don't know if you know this, man, but I've been following you. We actually worked together briefly at a station called WDIS in Norfolk. Do you remember that place? It's been bulldozed since then. But you and I both worked there for like a month. Did you know that?
Well, you and me helped bulldoze it.
That's
right.
Yes, I think so. What's on your mind, Jim? It's great to hear from you.
Well, I'll tell you, my friend Pete Rose is on my mind. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest athletes. You'll ever see in your entire life. A man that gave everything all the time, which is all you can ask for. When you're watching these people nowadays taking time off, what's it called in the NBA when they need a cool down
load
period.
Management is what they call it, yes.
Load management, exactly. Right. There was no load management with Pete. And I'm going to tell you something about Pete.
And if there was, he'd be in the casino.
About him being
probably.
The hit king.
Yes.
People talk about him being the hit king. His record's not that. That's not the record. If you look at Pete has the most games played won. Meaning, you get into a game and you won the game. And he was always, always, always adamant about that. His best record was he was involved with the most games won. And you know how long another player would have to go an entire year undefeated to beat him.
Wow.
And that is the antithesis of a tremendous athlete who gave everything all the time. And all these punks and gobbledygookers that like to sit around and talk about, oh, he bet on this, he bet on this. Never mind that stuff. That man was an unbelievable athlete as a professional baseball player.
He
and
was.
I'll tell you something else, too.
Yes.
He's in the WWE Hall of Fame because Vince McMahon knows a real champion when he sees one.
Yes, Jim McMahon, who has not had, or Vince McMahon, who's not had any bad press recently himself. Definitely, the Pete Rose stuff. I remember when he was in the WWF. I don't know what he did. He probably got, like, pile driven by the Undertaker or something. But
no, he was in the chicken costume 1 year, wasn't he? I think he was involved with a match here, maybe in Boston. I think he was in the chicken costume.
That sounds right, yeah.
I think he somehow was in the San Diego chicken, whatever. but so if that's true, does he really hold the record for most games won as
a
player?
I trust Jim the Wrestling going with my life, so if he said that, then yes.
So quite simply, if he had just bet on himself, he would have won a lot of money.
Probably.
Literally and figuratively, bet on yourself.
Let's take one more Red Sox call here before the top of the hour. Mike is in Boston. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, maybe too pat of an answer here, but don't you think if the Red Sox didn't trade Chris Sale, they'd be in the playoffs right now?
Probably, yeah. I think they probably would be. If he had the same season that he had with the Braves, then
Do you think he would pitch the same if he was still here, though?
It's so
I don't
hard
know about
know.
That. If he did that, if he had pitched an entire season and pitched the way he pitched in Atlanta, yes, they're in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, if he had pitched the way he pitched in Atlanta.
He, like, never lost a game this year. It's ridiculous.
And then he ended up getting scratched yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Because he pulled a groin or something?
Yeah, well. The Chris Sale experience isn't complete until he lets you down at a very important point.
Because the Braves are about to pay him now, so now he gets hurt because he's just about to go on their contract instead of the contract for the Red Sox. No, it's...
But yeah, I think they'd be in the playoffs.
You
wouldn't be pitching for him, but they'd be there, yeah.
If you could take the season he had there, didn't it feel like whatever, if you believe in karma or aura or luck or whatever, that... It just didn't work here. It was done. Because everybody hated him. Mm-hmm. But it led to him being injured here.
Yeah.
Although we talked to Cora about it. Remember when he was like all he was
when
like
they played the Braves?
He had comments basically saying, I kind of saw Chris Sale coming back last year and thought he might be going in the right direction, but as an organization, we made a decision to just go in a different direction with Grissom and the trade and the whole thing. So he almost indicated, Cora, that he saw signs that Chris Sale might be kind of on the way back.
Yeah, well, he's on the way to Atlanta now, and now he's on the way back to the ER, it seems like. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will reset on the Patriots, check in at the quarter pole here of the NFL season and the Patriots season, the Drake May timeline, and some trouble in the locker room. That's all coming up next here on WEEI.